Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Anyway, we want to talk about staycations. Speaking of good weather and bad weather. Oh, look, we know Ireland isn't the best place in the world to guarantee a bit of good weather. We probably had our summer already there about 2 weeks ago. We got a week of sunshine. We did get up to 22 degrees, in fairness. Anyway, now, continuing on from our topic last night, where we spoke about the cost of a family going away, we also kind of touched on the topic of, you know, holidaying in Ireland. Now, Molly was doing a bit of research there earlier on. She said for one night in a very basic hotel in Galway, it can cost upwards of £300. But two nights in Bristol, including flights and a nice hotel, it costs roughly £350. And that means you have to get a boat and everything else. Ireland has been named the slowest country in Europe to recover from the pandemic. The number of tourists who visited Ireland in the past month has been down by 30%, with the economy missing out on 88 million because of that. The most frequent reason for tourists coming to Ireland was to visit friends and family. But it's not just tourists not coming to Ireland for a holiday. Staycations have taken a nosedive. Reports say domestic bookings at Irish hotels made for July and August have dropped by between 45 and 53% when compared to the same period in 2021. Now, let's not get into too much here, but we all know one of the main reasons for that is because most of the hotels currently have asylum seekers and refugees and they're not available. And the other hotels in the smaller towns then are making out like bandits because, of course, they're the only hotels to stay in. So look at it this way. If you had £2,000 to spend on a holiday with your two kids, for example, would you go somewhere in Ireland, unpredictable weather, extortionate price probably, or would you holiday abroad? Bit of sun, bit of solitude, and probably cheaper. So, I mean, should you be supporting Ireland, really, and Irish tourism, when realistically, you're probably going to get it cheaper abroad? What do you think? Are staycations a thing of the past, or are you still a staycationer and think that it's good value and that it's a much better place to holiday? Why don't we share your thoughts? If you want to come on the air, by the way, all you got to do is text or WhatsApp 087-188-0008. Just send the message, let me on, and we will let you on. Let me go to my favourite person in the whole world, Dave in Tipperary.
What's the crack? Home place.
No, say it, Dave. It's always the same. What's the crack?
What's crack, Dave?
What's the crack, Dave? So, Dave, holidaying in Ireland has taken a nosedive, 45% and 53% compared to the same periods in 2021. Why? Mm. Why?
Because it costs too much. It's just the main crux of it. It's just, to stay anywhere in this country is cost an arm and a leg.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the main thing. Like, I would prefer the holiday here because there's so much cool shit to see in this country. But at the same time, like, am I really going to spend 175, 185 euros staying in a hotel that's an hour down the road from me? Do you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's a bit of a balls of it as well, is the fact that everything is so close by. You could justify spending £2,000 on a holiday in Spain because you're guaranteed sun, sea, sand, cheap beer, cheap food. You know, and it's a good bit away, but you can't really realistically say, right, lads, we're spending €1,500. Where are we going? Roscommon.
Roscommon. Yeah. Okay, well, you could have picked somewhere nicer. Don't get me wrong. Nobody... No disrespect to the people of Roscommon.
Hey, listen, the only time you ever hear Roscommon in the news is when something messed up has happened. Right, you know what it is? Roscommon is the Florida of Ireland.
But, I don't think so. But go on, Leitrim.
Or Westmeath. Oh, we don't talk about Westmeath. But no, but it is. It's a balls. Like, I mean, look, if I'm going away for a night and I don't have the kids, I would quite happily book into a caravan park or a campsite and sleep in the back of my car. I slept in the back of my car last night for a year, for a night last year, and it was the best
for a year. Sorry.
I'm really trying to save the pennies. No, but we went camping, and my brother slept in his camper van. The older lad slept in a tent, and I slept on a blow-up mattress in the back of my car. Uh-huh. And it was the best night's sleep I've had in like 2 years.
Yeah, I slept in the back of my car actually for a while, but it wasn't for the same purpose. It was because I had nowhere else to sleep.
My reason is way less depressing than yours.
Yeah, I know. That was about 6-7 years ago. Yeah, I slept in the back of the... Well, actually, no, it was about 4 years ago. I slept in the back of the car, yeah.
But it is. But like all these hotels and stuff, like, I know they have people to. Okay, Bugs, 1 minute.
You could do it in a hotel right now, couldn't you? Yeah, I know, Dave.
Fucking hotel in the fucking moon. I know, but no, but they are. But they're shooting themselves in the foot because people will eventually get sick of their shit and just stop going.
Oh, somebody's giving out. Somebody's giving out in a text about Roscommon. Us giving out about Roscommon. They said, they said it is the Florida of Ireland. It's perfectly placed in the centre of the country and gets beautiful sun in the summer. There you go. Put you in your place. Hang on.
Yeah, my bodies at the end of their floorboards, tell us. But it is. It's gone way too expensive. And it's not even just the cost of a hotel. Like, obviously, weather plays a big factor. But, like, a lot of places, particularly towns and cities, like, you hand a fiver in over a bar for a pint, and they're like, yeah, keep it coming. Do you know, food is too expensive. Like, to go see the sights and stuff like that, there's loads of cool shit you can see in this country for absolutely free, but it's all the stuff that comes along with it. It's going out to eat for a night, going for a few pints, you know, your accommodation. It's not worth it. Like, if you have the money, you know, I mean, like, they opened the Centre Parks in Ireland, and everybody's like, yay, Centre Parks. And then everybody looked at the price and goes, boo, only the rich people can stay there. Mm. Do you know, like,
I know some people have gone to Centre Park with the kids and they said it's great. Now, well, I don't know what the cost is, but I'm sure it's reasonably expensive. Yeah.
Yeah. And I
don't know.
Yeah. And they'll happily be paying the credit union back for that one for the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah. But it is a nice experience for the kids. Centre Park's, it is a good spot. It's a nice experience for the kids. And here's the thing, right? If you've got three kids, you'd probably be much prefer just to bring them down to Centre Park's, you know, get them in there rather than getting them on planes, taking them off planes, getting into taxis, renting a car, all of that.
Honestly, I've heard of people like who go away on sunny holidays with kids like the same age as my youngest, and I'm like, why do you do it yourself?
Yeah,
do you know? Would you not just stay at home and brave the rain? There's a guy that works with me. He did it there a while back with a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 6-year-old. He goes, "How was your holiday?" He goes, "Don't even fucking talk to me about it." you know, like, why'd you do it yourself in the first place?
Yeah, but I mean, now this is not obviously a scientific calculation, but Molly was just checking it out there, and it was a very basic hotel in Galway and cost upwards of £300 for 2 nights. You can go for the same 2 nights in for 1 night. You can get 2 nights in a place in Bristol, a nice place, and obviously this is an experience she has with a friend of hers who's heading off in a nice hotel, and it only costs £350. So for 2 nights in Bristol versus 1 night in Galway. You know?
No, but that's it. That's exactly it. Like, go off to Bristol, see another country, blah, 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 blah. Go to Galway, you might get attacked by a junkie. Do you know?
Man, you might get attacked by a junkie in Bristol, too. You know what I mean?
No, that's it. I know, I'm being purposely facetious here.
Hold on, let me give you a second. I'm going to go to Peter Dooley. Stay there, Dave. I'll just pull your line down. I know you have to deal with a child who's not very happy at the moment there by the sounds of things.
Here comes the dozer.
No, you can't just be. Do you remember the gripe water? Whatever happened, gripe water? That was great stuff.
They banned it because there was alcohol in it. No, yeah,
it was like 97% alcohol. People used to stick the duty in it straight into their gob.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I have friends, their kid was the quietest kid in the world because you used to give him Dozol every night. Poor child was.
Off his head.
I'm not going drunk at my child, by the way, just in case anybody.
Social services are listening. Well, stay there, Dave, for a second. Let me go to Peter. Peter, hi, how are you?
How are you now?
How you doing? Peter, look, we're losing out big time here. We've lost out 45 to 53% on staycations since the same period in 2021. We're losing out on tourism into the country as well. A lot of that's to do with cost. A lot of that's to do with the lack of availability of hotels, by the way. So the ones that are available are making hay while the sun shines. So realistically, more people are heading out of the country than staying here.
Well, if you can afford it, it's great to get on the holiday. You know, but I mean, it's just... Dave's right, it's extortionate. Like, the hotel prices are a rip-off, the going into a pub is a rip-off, you know, going out for something to eat is, you know, you need nearly a mortgage to go out and get something to eat as well. But like, everywhere you're going, you're struggling. But like, it's like, if you think about what's been going on the last couple of years, like, I don't know if you saw the figures before, back in February, with the Central Statistics Office, it was down 30%. In terms of visitors coming to Ireland, and down obviously 30% in spend and hotel nights as well. That's a dramatic change in Ireland. Like,
but why are we surprised at that when roughly 40% of the accommodation in Ireland is taken up at the moment with refugees and asylum seekers? But so that, why are we surprised?
That's a major part of it. All. Like, and people have been warned about this. There was a memo, I don't know if you remember, there was a memo back in 2023, I think, brought to the government about it. It was a discussion paper on, this, they called it displaced tourism, I think, at the time. And it was over €1 billion, they said it would be a hit to local economies because of the accommodation being used for international protection. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, like, you know, that's just a financial thing, but that's not impacting. Like, you look at that has a knock-on effect on all the small businesses in that locality as well. It's not just the hotel that takes the hit, the people in the community are knocked into, like, every euro spent, I think, is an accommodation by people. 250 is the average spend, for instance, for every euro into local economies. And that's so important for local economies and local towns and villages. And when the only hotel in the village or town is taken out of use, well, obviously that's going to have a massive impact on a downstream impact.
And if there's two hotels in the village and one has been taken out of use, then the other one can charge what they like.
Yeah, but that's it. But I think the bigger thing is, Noel, with this is that, like, there's people there who are making huge money from the immigration industry. There's Irish people making money from it. There's international investors making money from it.
Oh, yeah, we're making a lot of millionaires. Like, I see that, yeah.
Yeah, but people want to, like, you know, people come to Ireland. Like I've seen it for years with friends of mine who've worked in the service sector and hotels as well. And, like, you know, you come to Ireland, you want to see the so-called Cade Mhíle Fáilte. You want to see the culture, the heritage, the history, and all about our rich, the differences in each town and village, and know about, and make it affordable for people. You don't want to come down and, to be honest with you, like, I know myself, I've traveled, love Ireland, I try to go as much around Ireland as I can. But, like, at the same time, like, I haven't been out of Ireland, I don't think, in about 10 years now at this stage. Like, so it's not, yeah. I don't know the next time I'll be getting out of it.
But see, the problem is tourists go home with a bad taste in their mouth. Like, for example, about, oh, I don't know, 8 years ago, I was in New York, Manhattan. Now, don't get me wrong, I lived in New York. When I say I lived in New York, I stayed in New York for about 7 or 8 months, going back when I was 21, and it wasn't that bad then. But when I was there about 8 years ago, it was a complete rip-off. And I mean, an absolute rip-off. And I would never go back for that reason. So American tourists come here, get out of Kerry, whatever, Tipperary, Dingle, and they get robbed or they get fleeced, you know, in a small hotel. They get charged what you get charged at a 5-star in America. And okay, they might have a decent enough time and enjoy it, but they spend a lot of money. And what they're doing is they're going home and saying to all their mates, hey, Ireland is lovely, but it's a rip-off. Don't go.
Well, you're right, Noel. Like, it's only becoming really the preserve. Like, I spoke about it for a good while, you know, videos and stuff, and speak about it and all that stuff. Like, but I mean, it's important that I think it's becoming really the preserve of the very people who are very wealthy to go to places, even in Ireland. Like, I just checked out a few minutes ago, like, in Killarney for the weekend, going over for a long weekend. Say you had two adults and two kids. Like, the Great Southern Hotel down there is nearly €2,000 now. Like, wow. That's outrageous.
Yeah.
Like, that's outrageous. Like, and there's other hotels there that are slightly cheaper. But I mean, this is just like, that's, it has a knock-on effect in terms of supply and what's happened. But you want to go to... There has to be a proper strategy put in place for Indigenous industry. And that's, tourism is a vital part of it. And to get people, Irish people, back travelling to towns and villages within Ireland. Like, and the only way you're doing that is to actually actively support the businesses and have a plan in place. But the politicians aren't willing to have a plan. And they're more willing to say, oh, but listen, you can get your cheap flight somewhere else and go off to... Spain for a couple of days or whatever. I understand why people go there, because obviously with the cost, if you can afford it, people want to go.
And you know, if you have the time and you have an understanding boss, you can go on an odd day, go on a Tuesday, come back on a Tuesday, Ryanair, whatever it is. It's dirt cheap. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. But there's loads of people I know that are going away. Like, I'm talking to people in a week and they're going away for 3 days, 4 days. And I'm like, where are you going next week? Like,
yeah.
It's like, when I was a young lad, it was a B&B down in Waterford or something, or we went to Galway or down to, you know, whatever, you know, whenever we went away with the lads for a weekend, like, you know, you go around. But I found that it's been a dirt of the whole B&Bs as well. The B&Bs were fantastic places to go to, and there's next to no B&Bs.
No, they're all Airbnbs now, which cost a fortune.
Yeah, well, that's what they've all moved into. But the B&Bs were fantastic. Like, sure, you go in, and you, like.
Now, some of them were fantastic, but some of them.
Some
do you remember they used to be called boarding houses? Some of them should have been boarded up. They were that bad.
There was a funny one that was in years ago. I remember it was in place and went away with the lads for a weekend down to Waterford, down to when I was a young lad. Back when I was a young lad, now, like.
Oh, yeah.
But down to place in Waterford, and we went out the night before, missed the breakfast, and then, like, we arrived back in the afternoon, like, and. the owner woman said, "Oh, you didn't have your breakfast. I'll make you dinner." And we were like, "What?" She put like, that's the way people are.
Yeah.
That's the way Irish people are as well. They're very welcoming, and they just like, and that's why you'd rather, like, we used to enjoy going to, you know, the places that were sort of, weren't the sort of the touristy places, or yeah, you know, and go and, you know, talk to people from the local area, learn about the local villages and towns, and talk to people, and that you have the best crack and the best night out when you talk to people from areas, and because the history in Ireland is phenomenal.
No, oh, no, I know. I'm quite ashamed of the fact that I haven't been to a lot of the famous tourist destinations in Ireland. Probably as a kid going in school on tours, probably is the closest I've got to it. But I haven't really been, you know, the last kind of touristy thing I did in Ireland was the Giant's Causeway. Now, it is lovely, by the way. Mind you, the day I went, it was pretty cold. But it is lovely, you know, and it is magnificent. And you kind of look at it and wondering how the hell that happened.
That's it. Like, a couple of years ago, I think it was down in Achill Island, down around that area as well, in Mayo as well. Like, you got Westport down around Connemara. Like, they're beautiful parts of Ireland. Like, my dad was from Ireland.
But they're only beautiful if the weather's nice. This is the problem.
Well, it is, but it isn't. Like, you know, you sort of come prepared. Noel, you get the four seasons in one day, and you can sort of, like, if you can get away as a somewhere that's affordable to go to, like, Ireland's a fantastic country. Like, you know,
but a lot of people are like me. I'm a cold person.
Yeah.
And I just cannot deal with cold weather. I just don't. I just can't wait to get back into the car again. So, it doesn't matter how big my jacket is.
Well, that's it. But I think the other side of it is, like, I'd be on the opposite end. I don't think I'd be. I think the, my idea of sitting lying on the beach for a week would.
I don't lie on beaches. Sort of a nightmare. Yeah, no, you're right. I wouldn't. I mean, I might sit on the beach for a few hours, but I don't lie on beaches for, you know, a week on end. Or I might sit in El Lilo at a pool and, you know, listen to some music or listen to a few podcasts or whatever. Himself and the wife, we always have great chats. You know what I mean? So that kind of thing I enjoy. Just at the peace of it all and not having to worry or listen to somebody calling you with a problem in work or whatever it is. Anyway, stay there for a second, Peter. Let me go to Owen and Darren straight after this break. Sorry, lads, for keeping you. But I want to talk about staycations. Do you still go on staycations? There was a big push, of course, during COVID-19 because, Jesus, we weren't allowed to leave the country. Do you remember that crack? Oh, you're not allowed. The guards will be at Dublin Airport. It was €1,000 fine arresting people for going to the airport, even though technically it wasn't illegal to get on a plane and go to another country, but it was illegal in Ireland to go to the airport. All made very little sense at the time. And the guards were actually arresting people getting out of taxis at Dublin Airport. And unless you were going to a funeral and you had a letter or some sort of weird excuse, like you're having a mad operation, life or death in the UK or something, you weren't allowed on a plane. Or you got €1,000 fine. So anyway, back to what we're talking about. So that was the reason we all had to do the staycations. But since then, staycations have fallen apart. Absolutely plummeted. What's the reason why would you staycation in Ireland? Or is it just because it's cheaper everywhere else in the world apart from Ireland? All right, welcome back. Let me go to Owen. Owen, hi, how are you? Stay there, Peter.
Very good, Niall. How are things with you, boy? You well?
All right, boy. How's things? I'm doing my best Cork accent there. Didn't work out.
Sure. We'll have to bring you down, teach you a few words. Like, you know.
Owen, right. Do you go on staycations or do you go abroad?
No, I do staycations, but when I can, I go abroad too. And I'm just back from 3 weeks in America. And, you know, I've been to America loads of times. I was in California again. And, like, the inflation they talk about is real at the moment.
Oh, I know. I was there in November.
$2.50 for one orange.
Wow.
In California, where people could grow them in the garden or a window box or something. It's just insane. So I actually don't believe, certainly the rural Ireland is a rip-off for Americans. I have a good pal home from America at the moment on a visit, and she brought two American girls with her. And they're finding it very reasonable, but they're very tuned in. They're very tuned in. And like when you go to Google and you put in, like, say, hotels West Cork, I firmly believe that there's people paying Google to jump to the top of the list because there's a big effort being put in here in West Cork, not alone by Michael Collins, no, and Evie Nevin and other public representatives, but a lot of people in West Cork were hanging on to the hotel rooms. They're not going to I-Pass centres. Now, there is an I-Pass centre, but that's on Sharkin Island, so most people aren't going to go out there. But We've got caravan parks. We still have B&B. We have all kinds of holiday lets, chalets, cottages, you name it. And we're really trying to bring the staycation back.
Mm.
And, you know, it's got to suit the budgets, but there's one thing that people didn't mention there, Niall, and like I'm showing my age, you'd probably remember this. When we were young, remember the one income family?
Mm.
And the mother slash wife and children would head away to the caravan park for the whole summer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That doesn't happen anymore where two parents are working. It's just impossible. Like,
yeah, I imagine that. I mentioned that last night. We used to go to Lusk and Skerry's to a caravan park when we were kids.
Yeah, and Skerry's was fabulous. Mm. Skerry's was fabulous. Now, I don't know, would it be up to spec, but I visited there years ago. And it's got to be up to... It's got to be up to Irish people to kind of play a little ball as well. But for rural West Cork, the likes of Skibbereen, Baltimore, Ballydehob, Glengariff, Googan Bar, all those places, fabulous tourist destinations, and there aren't a rip-off. It's the day trippers, the people coming down for a few days midweek, like you mentioned. That's very cost-effective. Mm-hmm. You know, the Gaeltacht for kids. I know you're not a big Irish speaker. We had this before, but... It's still very good for the local economy. And I firmly believe that if we got more cooperation from the government, that it would be a big success.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Kerry has really led the way there with the Kerry Association internationally and the Rose of Tralee. There's a whole pile of people out there, apart from Dublin and Kerry, they never even heard of Galway, Cork, Limerick. We need more of a push internally and externally to build up tourism. And the unadulterated greed that's going on around the hotel industry, for example, particularly in Dublin, you know, a concert's announced and all of a sudden people's bookings are cancelled and the price is quadrupled. That needs to be addressed.
Yeah, I'm just looking while you were talking there. Best Cork, Skull Harbour Hotel Leisure Centre. Seems like a nice place. And I just looked up there for one night, Thursday 17th of April to Friday the 18th of April. And it was, where's the price gone? Jesus, hold on, I got back here where the price has gone. I think it was 140. Yeah, 140. Yeah, 149. That's on booking.com. Yeah.
Well, it probably is. Have a look at the likes of the Celtic Ross in Ross Carberry then. Or have a look at B&Bs. There's a lot of visitors recently and they stayed in Airbnb in Union Hall. It was €75 for the couple for the night.
But see, what most people find, Owen, is, pardon me, if they've got two kids, two adults, two kids, it's a family room. Or if they've three kids, you're in real trouble because family rooms only cater for two adults and two kids. So if you have three kids, you have to get an extra room, right?
Yeah.
So, but what they find is that it's cheaper to bring them to Portugal, and particularly if you're going to be bringing them out during the day and buying the bottles of Coke and chips and burgers and all that kind of stuff, it's cheaper to bring them to Portugal or Spain for a week than it is to bring them to West Cork or to bring them to Galway or whatever it happens to be. And I understand. And not only cheaper, they don't have to walk around in the rain. They don't have to pack as much clothes. Do you understand what I'm saying?
So I had the exact same myself, Niall. But for a weekend, for a trip or two or three days during the week, at some stage, if they were renting a house, doing a mobile home or a cottage rather than an expensive hotel, there are options there. Now, when you happen to pick Skull, is an expensive destination.
Well, 149 is not too bad.
No, it's not too bad, but it isn't extensive. But if you look at the beaches around there...
I'm looking at a few others. I'll look at a few others just in comparison. The Maritime, which is in Bantry, or Skibbereen, £130.
Yeah.
The Celtic Ross Hotel and Leisure Centre in Ross Carberry in Skibbereen, £134.
Yeah.
It says it's 1,150 yards from the beach.
A choice of beaches, and there's a big, huge lagoon outside the door that does all water slides and canoeing and poles and all that kind of thing. And from there, you can see the Pirate Cove, and they do all swings and slides and
I tell you, you know you're West Cork, Owen, that's for sure. Anyway, hold on. Owen, I have a funny feeling Owen is working for Irish Tourism. No, I'm joking.
No,
I
said, no. Yeah.
So stay there for a second, Peter. No, let me just go to Darren. Darren, hi. You wanted to talk about Madrid, but go on.
€454 for two nights in Madrid in June.
That's in June, yeah. Yeah.
And what was it there for Galway?
No, that was Skibbereen. Well, the average.
There was one there about 10 minutes ago. You said Galway. Was it 350 or something?
Sorry, that was Galway for one night at a particular hotel. Was 300 quid.
Oh, Galway is that's ridiculous. Very expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
But some of my, I can remember we used to go on a lot of holidays when I was younger with the family. And some of my fondest memories, like I remember going down to Cork in the car as much as I remember going to Malta or Spain, like, you know what I mean? So like, but as long as the prices are the way they are, this country with tourism is doomed.
Mm.
Like this time next year, we'll be talking about the same figures, only they're after going down even more from this year.
But to be fair to the hotels, and I am going to be fair to them, right? Their overheads are a lot higher than they would be in Madrid. Their insurance costs are higher. Their energy costs are higher. Their staff costs are higher.
Minimum wages.
Yeah, minimum wage is higher. You know, the average wage is higher. So their outgoings are much higher than a hotel in the middle of Madrid.
That is true, yes. But I see now Dublin bringing in now a tourist fee.
Oh, well, I don't think that's going to happen. They want to bring in a tourist tax. Now, some countries have tourist tax. Like you go stay in a hotel. Yeah, you go to Florida, stay in a hotel. You pay for it on booking.com. You stay in your hotel, and as you're leaving, they'll say, that's $170, please, tax. So they charge you like.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, they charge you about $15, $16 a night, tax, tax.
And Vegas has resort.
You're not paying tax on the money, they're out of paying for the hotel.
No, it's a separate tax. They don't even tell you this. It's in the small print, you know, on all these booking sites. So you pay on the booking site, and then when you get there, as you're leaving and checking out, they ask you for the $150 or whatever it is, depending on how long you've stayed. But it's per night. It's a estate tax.
That's ridiculous.
And don't forget resort fees.
Yeah, yeah.
Resort fees. As soon as you arrive at the hotel, even if you've paid for the hotel before you book in, they want the resort fees.
But no, when you
look online, is deceptive.
Yeah, sorry, Darren. Go ahead.
Where would you rather be, in Madrid or in Galway?
You know, both are beautiful. I'm not going to lie to you. And they both have their advantages. The crack would be better in Galway, I'm sure. The weather would certainly be better in Madrid. and eating out, I'm sure, would be cheaper in Madrid.
Galway have a better hurling team. Well,
I'm sure Madrid don't have a hurling team.
But Niall, actually, a serious one on that, because you were saying about the hotels, right? But in the last year, there's €1 billion being on hotel sales, in particular with the big companies. Like, you know, you look at Dublin, right, and you look at all even the modern group, and there's a group called Dalata. They were founded about 20 years ago. But now they're funded by private equity companies. So that's what I was saying. It's becoming a preserve with the tourist tax as well. You look around Dublin, you look at the Shelbourne and all these places. Kennedy Wilson used to own them, a vulture fund that owned a lot of rented apartments. Like, it's becoming the preserve of the very wealthy to travel anywhere. And the important thing is, I think, is like there's places there that were places that were affordable. Even when I was a kid as well, like we went to Rush. Remember, my mum telling us in a caravan park to Rush. We went, obviously, Bray. We went to, which is only out the road. But yeah. Mosney, Butlins, we used to go to.
Butlins, yeah.
And that was great. Like with summer projects, we used to go with and days out, and it was fantastic because it's accessible from Dublin. And now it's become like the last few years, it's the direct provision centre. And then there was a place further up the road.
Big loss.
Yeah, in Bettystown, there was a place in Bettystown beyond Bettystown there, used for a lot of people who are in low income that I knew that used to go there. It was a place, and it was Vincent DePaul ran it. And it was just a place for the people from all over could go up and have a week, and just a week away near the sea. It was just up beyond Bettystown there. I can't remember, just beyond the little village up beyond it. Lovely spot. And that was taken over for Ukrainians. By Vincent DePaul there a few years ago. And a lot of people, you know, are struggling just even to get a break away so they can go away for a few days. That people
But the other problem, I don't want to go too deep into it tonight, but the other problem for these small rural towns when your hotels are taken up, you know, with asylum seekers or refugees, no harm to them, but is that they don't spend money. Tourists spend money. There's footfall in the town, in the local shops, in the local restaurants, the local bars. But unfortunately, asylum seekers and refugees don't have a huge amount of disposable income.
It really changes, but as well, it changes the whole demographic.
And weddings, yeah, weddings, of course, yeah.
Yeah, because you want, like, personally, you want to go to, like, if I travel anywhere, you want to go and meet somebody from the local area. You want to go and talk to somebody and say, Jesus, his family was here for like three generations or four, you know, four generations. You get to know a sense of they're proud of where they're from, and then that makes you want to go back to a place. Like,
well, I did want to go back to a particular hotel. I won't say where it was. And when I rang them, they told me that they only had a few rooms because most of the hotel was taken up with refugees. And I'm going to be straight with you, and you can judge me if you want. I said I wouldn't be interested in staying there anyway if it was taken up with refugees, because that's not what I want to do. You know what I mean? Now, don't get me wrong. Some people might suggest that's sort of racism. I couldn't care who was staying there, but I'm not going to stay in a hotel that's being used as an IPAS centre for a holiday. Why would I do that?
But this hotel, Pier Street, Niall, it's a big hotel in Pier Street there. You should probably pass it all the time, and you know, you probably pass it in the city, and it's taken over. It was used for emergency accommodation for years. It's putting people, leaving people are being evicted or being put into hotel rooms, and companies are making a fortune out of it.
Mm.
And like, even with the immigration, they're making a fortune out of it. So like,
oh, it gets the government out of a hole, of course, because now they say, oh, we've done something about that. Yeah,
it does. But yeah. In particular, the northern city, if you know Gardner Street used to have loads of B&Bs on it.
That's
years
right.
ago. Like, it had loads of B&Bs on it. And now it's like, yeah, it's all taken over with emergency accommodation. And then there's loads of problems.
It's the exact same.
Yeah, right. Yeah, massive amount of social. You're right, Owen. Massive amount of social problems as well then going on. Anyway, stay there. We're going into a different area altogether. Let me go to Dee. Dee, hi, how are you?
Hi, how's it going? Lovely to talk to you, Niall.
You too, Dee. Dee, I mean, why do you think people are not staycationing as much as they used to?
Yeah, I do think it's a cost thing, and you're talking about, I'm originally from Cork, a long time in Dublin now, about the Celtic Ross and places, and it's Thursday night. I'm still, unfortunately, too young and too poor to retire, so stuck to weekends and holiday periods for going to nice places like West Cork or North West Mayo and that. And typically these sort of periods are the cash in on it. And I know rural Ireland needs to do that, but it's ridiculous to pay hundreds. Where you could get a Wednesday or Thursday night if like deals like the Hudson Bay in Athlone do these great midweek deals, but my job wouldn't like it. I'd love to. Ireland is beautiful. It's fabulous. It's the culture and the people. We spend a lot of time in North West Mayo. I'm lucky to have family there and get abroad for a week and get there for a week. But even the cost of rural North West Mayo to eat and drink has gone outrageous. My kids have grown up now, but to bring them, to entertain them, you're talking even go horse riding or go kayaking. It's ridiculous. You don't get change out of 500 quid for a weekend.
Yeah.
Bringing kids away before you pay for the accommodation.
Yeah.
So it's an awful pity because it's beautiful and it's safe and like there's so much to see. Even on a wet day, there's a lot to do in Ireland.
Yeah, and you're avoiding flights and airports and all that stress, yeah, and everything else. You know, it's just jumping, yeah, into a car or a train or whatever it is just to get there. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an awful pity because it is a beautiful country and talk about West Cork and I know it very well and I have stayed in the Celtic Ross and everything. It's fabulous. But it is ridiculous. I'm lucky. I live in Dublin now and I do pity the young people coming up for concerts and things. They're getting buses back down to Cork.
Oh, they're being robbed in Dublin. Robbed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not. I mean, even to stay in a very basic place. One, they can't get it because like Taylor Swift last year, for instance, they were all cancelled. And I know young people, family members and that, and they were travelling back to the west of Ireland on buses after a late night because it was daylight robbery. If they could get a hotel.
Yeah, hotels were charging up to 500, 600, 800. I saw 800 quid.
Yeah.
And it was only like a 3 or 4 star hotel. It wasn't 5 star. Like, that's crazy. Yeah. There was one really funny one. I remember the time we produced myself. We talked about it. It was a basement in a house and it was just like literally a bed and a sideboard. And they were looking for 1,100 quid for the night.
Yeah. I remember where I live when we had the Irish Open. I wouldn't be far from that in West Dublin. And there was a house on our estate. I thought, how long ago was that? It must be 10 years ago. And they were letting out your typical three-bedroom semi-D. And they were letting it out for the weekend for grands.
Mm.
Grands. And there is that. And, you know, a bit of entrepreneurship in that. But that also isn't fair, do you know?
Yeah.
It's not drawing the tourists to here. We do need the Americans despite tariffs and everything. We do need the Europeans. We need it to keep our tourist industry. We need to staycation here ourselves and enjoy our country.
Yeah, this idea, by the way, that they've come up with at the moment about taxing tourism, I think is absolute and utter rubbish. I mean, tourism is already in a bad way. Why make it worse and put people off coming here?
And they do it in Barcelona and places where you can still get a reasonable hotel off the Ramblas or somewhere, and it might be €3 per adult per night. I stay there a weekend with our child and that, and you're for €15, but you're staying in a fairly decent hotel for a reasonable price. So fair is fair.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Stay there for a second, Dee and Peter. I'm going to come to Bernie and Mark straight after this break. We're asking about staycationing. There you go. Dee hit it in the nail on the head there. It's a beautiful country. People should stay here more often. There's a lot to explore, a lot to do. But look, they're just spoiling it. They're giving everybody a bad taste in their mouth because they're charging too much bloody money to go. Let me know what you think. The number's 087-188-0008. Jeez, that must have been the shortest break in history. I was trying to wolf me banana and strawberries. Look at me living the life. Hot banana and strawberries while I'm on the... I have to say, they look beautiful. I think I might just have one more piece of banana. Well, hang on. Let me just go to Bernie first. Bernie, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you tonight eating your straw? You're very healthy.
Yeah, bananas and strawberries. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, getting back to the topic, you heard what Dee said. Ireland is a beautiful place. We've just, we've killed it ourselves, but the cost of everything.
Okay, so I've been camping because that's all I could afford when my kids were small growing up. And I've continued to camp and I've added in the odd bed and breakfast. Have stayed in hotels, but they're out of my reach. So I have myself a little 4-man tent, which I put in the boot of the car with my blow up mattress.
I didn't know what you were going to say there. Blow up mattress. Go on, sorry.
And it cost me, say, €23 a night in a camping site where you can use access to, a nice kitchen where you can cook your own food, a fridge if you want to use it.
That's very good, yeah.
So, and it's in Achill Island, and it's called Peel Campus.
Yeah, but you'd be still freezing.
I bring a hot water bottle. It's not the days have gone by where you packed up the car with blankets and things and you're frozen and the tent blew away. It's very easy to do now, and I'm in my 60s and I'm happy to do that. And I have booked bed and breakfast, and it's like outrageous, but I do it once a year as a treat, and I do it by myself. And I bring my own pot and my own saucepan and my own kettle, and I have a phone charger, and that's it. Mm. And I have stayed around Europe, and I have bought the kids camping in Europe, and I have caravaned and done everything in Ireland. I love my country, and I love staying in it, and I love the people of it. I go to France, I don't know French, I'm a bit lost. I go to Spain, I don't know Spanish, but the people are always very kind and they'll help out. I've been to, and I've been around Europe, been to New Zealand, been to America. And I'm happy to stay in my own island. And, if that's the way I have to do it, that's the way I can afford to do it.
Yeah, but most people would like to do that. They're not necessarily camping. It's not for everybody, right? It certainly isn't for me. Yeah. It wouldn't be my bag. Because I'm just, as I said, I'm a cold creature. I'd freeze to death. And I'd be terrified that somebody's going to come in the middle of the night or something, or a cow would run over me or something. I don't know. Or a fox or something. Anyway, so I couldn't stay in a tent. I'm sorry, Bernie, and I'm sure it's lovely and I'm sure you love it, but it sounds like my idea of hell. Achill Island in a tent. No, that's not for me. But here's the thing. For people who do want to do all these things in Ireland, and want to maybe go down the caves or do certain things or, go to certain events or whatever, we've kind of taken the good out of it. You go into a pub even, and as somebody mentioned earlier, there's no change out of a fiver anymore for a pint of beer. The hand is out for more money. You won't get a pint of beer for a fiver. Even in rural Ireland, which used to be cheaper.
But exactly. So I brought my grandson out last night for something to eat. He was going training, and I got the job to go into town with him. And I brought him for something to eat. Now, the two of us only sat down, and I tell you, it was a very light meal. The chips, the curry season. I paid €62 last night for a rack of those ribs, is it? And chips for him.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got a fish and chips myself and two ice creams. €62.
That's mad.
Now, I nearly had a coronary. I nearly had a heart attack. Plus, I gave a tip, and we had two glasses of water each, and we were out in half an hour. Like, that's not something.
It's crazy. I did the same thing today, myself and Karen, and my stepdaughter, and we were out and for just a takeaway, sit down takeaway. I won't say which one it was. It's £38. Just the three of us. That's crazy.
We can't do that. I mean,
I don't necessarily blame all of these places. I blame the economy, and I'm sure Peter will jump in there. A lot of this is to do with the economy. the cost of running business now, be it hotels, be it takeaways, fast food chains, restaurants, whatever it happens to be, there's a massive cost because staff costs have gone up, energy costs have gone up, you know, liability insurance has gone up. There's a mass, like, whereas if you have a takeaway in the middle of Spain, it's dirt cheap to run. Sorry, Peter, go ahead.
Yeah, that's it. Like, well, the second highest prices in Europe now, like, that can't be understated. Like, you know what I mean? Second, across the European Union, like, it's outrageous. Like, and you see the most of the highest prices in energy. We've seen skyrocketing inflation over the last couple of years, like, after coming out of COVID. And then we've seen, like, in the last year, they're saying inflation is moderating, still increasing. And there's even double-digit growth still with groceries for people just getting by day to day. So, like, for businesses to, like, it's the small businesses that I feel for, because they're the ones that's their livelihood. It's not just, they're employing a few people locally in the local area. They're not the big guys that are the guys that should be really targeted. Like, what's happening is the bigger guys are coming in and they're swallowing up the smaller guys, and it's becoming, they're taking over. And then when you have it's like a monopoly, really, they can set the prices then, and they can charge whatever they want to. So basically price the people that can't afford, they'll be just more excluded. That's generally what's happening. Like, you know, unless you have a strategy that supports small businesses and actually drives indigenous, domestic, local tourism and a local economy, and that's across the country, that's urban and rural. It's not just based on the tourist sites. It's based
But I mean, dinner out for two people,
it's a rip-off.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, you think if she was in Patrick Gibo's, you'd understand, you know, or whatever, you know, some sort of Michelin star restaurant.
I got $3.99 in Bray last week. It was with 13 quid.
$3.99.
I
tell you what, you can't beat a 99. Dee, do you like a 99 every now and again?
I even have one myself, so I wouldn't mind.
You can't beat a 99.
Like, these are things that, like, and like, that was actually in Bray.
here's a quick trivia question before I go to Mark. Stay there, Bernie and Dee, by the way. Here's a quick trivia question for you, Peter. Or if Bernie or Dee knows the answer, very quickly now, don't Google it. Where did the name 99 come from?
99 Red Balloons, Nina, was it?
Nah. Bernie, do you know where the name 99 came from?
Something familiar,
no.
Is it?
Is that the one with the flake on it, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it to do with the flake?
No.
No. Okay. So I'm out.
Dee, are you out?
I'm out. No idea.
Okay, I've got to be quite vague about it because I don't remember exactly the reason, but it was to do with one of Napoleon's armies, who were the elite army in the, I think, the French Civil War, and they were called the 99s. So it's always 99 is considered to be the elite. So the elite ice cream, which was the best one, was called the 99. Just from memory, I think that was the reason. But by the way,
charged €14 out in Bray, they mightn't have came back.
Just
quickly, Mark is waiting ages. Mark is actually aged while he's waiting. Sorry, go on.
Can I jump in there, Niall, just for a second?
Quickly, yeah, go on.
I think also for things like public liability, I work in an industry where we bring a lot of young people out to activity centres. And we just can't now because the public liability is so high. Places have closed down. So things like doing things with kids, whether it's when I go to Mayo, when the kids were young, we'd like to do horse riding or surfing or kayaking in our beautiful sea and wonderful air. But the public liability insurance is so much that they have to charge the consumer a lot. So you have two kids, you're paying 50 quid for an hour and a half horse riding.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And so as an industry, they need to look at that. Is there that much litigious stuff going on that it has to be on the company that's providing this service, that there has to be so high? Their insurance is crippling. So it's not just them being greedy feckers. Maybe there's a bit of that, but their overheads, including insurance, is so high that actually providing things like activities and that for kids, which are outstanding in Ireland, are just too expensive for most families.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree with you more. Let me go to Mark. Mark, hi, how are you doing?
Good evening, guys. How are you doing, Niall? Well?
Good. I know you've aged while you've waited on the air there. Come on.
Just slightly. I've loads. Lucky at my job, you have to have loads of patience. So
right, okay.
I don't mind waiting.
Mark, why do you think we're not staycationing as much as we should?
Well, I tell you, I'm just coming down from Dublin now. I live in a tie in Kildare, and I'm just coming down from Dublin there now myself after dropping off my last customer. And what drew my attention to your programme tonight was your staycations. And I'm a chauffeur. I have a chauffeur business, and I bring in an awful lot of tourists. 90% of them will be American tourists during the summer months. And that would sort of be kicking off around now. And that goes right up to the end of October. And okay. I heard on the radio today, just before I picked up a customer today, I heard that they're talking about taxing.
That's right.
Tourists. And I said, this is definitely a joke. You must be off your rocker. Because the same company, like Bord Fáilte, were forecasting figures there saying January, February and March.
30% down.
They're down over 30% down. Yeah. We all read that. And now they're talking about taxing. I said, this is definitely a joke. Now, I never got to hear it for the rest of the day after that.
Yeah, there has been objections from some of the political parties, but there was a suggestion of putting a tourist tax in, like America, like Spain and places. Yeah.
But I think that would kill the industry.
Oh, I think so, yeah.
And with the sort of the ban in the airport at the moment to stop the amount of planes flying into Dublin, there's a moratorium on that at the moment.
Yeah.
That we need to lift that. We need to get more planes in this country.
I agree.
And like, we can't put up obstacles to get tourists in this country. We have to open the gates and let them in. And especially, I have to be honest, Americans spend huge money when they come to this country.
So, but like, just give me an example. Okay, you obviously have a limo service. So I'm assuming you bring them from the airport to their hotel. And
correct. Or then bring them on tours across the country as well, anywhere in the country.
Okay, and you're bringing them back to the airport when they're going home sometimes.
Correct.
Okay, so...
Now, the general sense is with these Americans that are coming over, they can't fall to hospitality. They love the country, they love the people. So tick, tick, tick. We're ticking all the right boxes. But they're saying now we're actually getting as expensive as it is in the States. They said, well, the last time I was over, I don't remember it being as expensive as this. And I lost my pub and restaurant through COVID. So I'm well experienced in sort of talking about the pub industry and the expense of it as well, and how the energy costs, the minimum wage, and every bit of expense that brings up. They haven't come down. Now, COVID was a couple of years ago. Them expenses haven't come down yet.
No.
And I don't think the government got involved enough in that. I know the Vintners Association are heavily lobbying, but I think they're a waste of time. I think the Restaurant Association, another waste of time. Like, they'll tell you they've done this, that, and the other, but they've done absolutely nothing.
See, Peter mentioned a few minutes ago that inflation, which was at, nearly 10% at one stage, although for most people in their pockets it was about 25%, has stabilised. But stabilise is no good. We needed to come back down again, that's never happened. As I know, maybe I'm wrong, but that's never happened as far as I'm aware.
It's so expensive. I go into pubs and restaurants all over the country nowadays. And I stay in pubs and restaurants and hotels all over the country, and I'm looking at the cost, and when I'm in there, I can't take my old days off of the pub environment. And I said, there's five staff on there tonight. There's three bar staff on. There's five on the floor. There's 13 people in the pub. This is a nightmare. And I'm getting stressed out for the owner of that pub.
Yeah.
But I remember my days in the pub, and I said that the cost involved in this is just. I remember before I closed the pub, that every 2 months, I think it was electricity bills coming every 2 months, and in total it'd be €4,000.
Yeah.
Roughly, if I can remember correctly, over 3 years ago, that went up to a high of €12,000.
Yeah.
And that's not including electricity. Now, them figures have come down somewhat since. I don't think they've come down much. I don't think they've come down as much. No, they definitely haven't come down as much.
No.
The minimum wage has gone up, and all suppliers' costs have gone up. But the whole supply chain, and the whole supply chain has changed. And like the supplies have all changed. Everything has gone up.
But that's what I'm saying to people. I do understand it's cheaper to go to Portugal or cheaper to go to Spain for a few days or whatever. But they're not, you know, those businesses, are not paying as much as Irish businesses to stay open.
Correct.
And so I get it. It's kind of, it's a vicious circle.
Now, I'm 3 years doing this now at the moment as chauffeur, and I'm loving my job, by the way. But in the same token, I pick them up coming in on their holidays, and I bring them also at the latter end of it. I bring them back to the airport and say goodbye to them.
Did you pick up anybody famous recently apart from Bernie and Peter and Dee?
I did. Well, I had Snoop Dogg last year. And
Snoop
I had,
Dogg, very good.
The famous Vogue Williams at one stage. She's lovely, actually.
Yeah.
Alan Shearer. Yeah, loads of different people, actually. Loads of different people.
Alan Shearer. Oh, the footballer, Alan Shearer. Yeah, sorry.
The footballer, yeah.
Did he score?
Did he score?
He didn't score enough.
Did they give you a tip, by the way? Did they give you a tip?
I can't talk about that. That's the private part of it.
Oh, yeah. But do you get many tips? Because Irish people are not great at tipping, but the Americans are great at tipping, aren't they?
The Americans, in particular, are very good at tipping. Mm. They're very, very good at tipping, and they're very generous. That's what I'm saying to you. Like if the airport was opened up and that sort of ban was lifted, like a meet sort of in the middle or somewhere, like we can't restrict tourists that want to come into this country to spend money. Like, would you really notice 5 or 10 more planes coming in there a day? I don't know what the figure is, but would you really notice that there was 10 more planes?
Mark, I lived in the flight path. I lived about a mile away from the runway at one stage.
But you know it's 10 more planes coming
there. No, I know, because I tell you what, I don't really buy into it, right? All the complaints. I'm sure some people have legitimate complaints, right? But I lived right beside the runway. 6 o'clock in the morning. This is what you used to hear, right?
Yeah.
Right, so that was them going out with shotguns to frighten the birds away.
Get rid of the birds. Yeah,
and then you'd hear the engines coming on, right? But after about 6 months of living there, you don't hear it anymore. Yeah, you just don't hear it.
Yeah.
I used to have friends over, and the plane would be coming over the top of the house, and they go, what the hell is that? And I go, it's a plane.
I know. But I do have to say now, when I dropped the Americans back to the airport and say goodbye to them, they had a fantastic time. They can't get over our greenery. They can't get over our scenery. And best of all, which I love hearing, the hospitality was tick, tick, tick. They love our hospitality. They love the Irish people in general. So they're going back telling their friends.
Okay.
But the last thing you want to go back to America and say, Ireland has gone way too expensive.
Yeah, I'll tell you quickly because I've got 30 seconds. Bernie, give me one great thing about Ireland.
The people.
Okay, Peter.
The Irish people, I agree.
Peter, give me something else great about Ireland.
Well, the history in Ireland and the scenery.
Okay, D.
Yeah, clean air and countryside.
Oh, yeah. The great outdoors. Mark, give me something else.
Absolutely the weather.
Oh, stop. It's the worst thing about Ireland.
No,
lack of sunshine.
The lack of sunshine. The culture, the Irish people, the hospitality, the scenery is just breathtaking. They absolutely can't get over when they're over here. And obviously, we've the most castles in anywhere else in the world. You can't get over.
Oh, the Americans love the castles. We've so many bloody castles. We kind of get sick looking at them, but they're just blown away by all these castles because they don't have any castles in America, really. Listen, Mark, Bernie, Peter, Dee, and everybody got involved in the conversation. Thank you very much indeed.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.